don't know who they are. Okay, so I just brought in Christina from TNI.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you? Thank you for being here.
Good. Are you able to promote Jessica and Isabella?
I am ask them to raise their hand, Christina, because I'm looking in. Oh, yes, I have her. Hold on. I have Jessica. I'm going to promote her now. And who else?
I am confirming with the interpreter that she's made it into the room. Yeah, she raised her hand. It says Maricela Flores.
Oh, Maricela.
Okay. 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 It should be okay. I'm looking for Shannon.
She might be. I wonder if she's 103661.
Can we just quickly check your microphone here? And you too, Jessica?
I don't have the option of changing my name in here. I think the host has to do it.
Same thing.
Well, then it is what it is.
What would you like? Who would like their name changed?
Christina wants me to take interpreter off the name. So
take interpreter off the name? Okay.
Yes, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, you doing it, Deb?
Yep.
And for Maricela to say Spanish?
In front.
Yes, in front, please. Thank you.
Okay.
That work? Hold on. Two S's in Spanish. You want to say Spanish interpreter?
Just Spanish.
Just Spanish, okay.
Screen easier.
And you want your name on?
I'm sorry?
Do you want your name on or
completely? I just promoted you, I think. Are you Somali King?
So one should say Spanish Maricela Flores. Yep.
And the other one, Spanish Jessica.
Yes. Thank you. And I believe that the interpreters are good to go.
Fantastic.
You know if you ladies need anything. Good.
Thank you.
Perfect.
You're mute.
We have Shannon now.
Yay.
Hey, welcome, Shannon.
Hey.
We knew you could do it.
So the only people we're missing right now are Nuala and Gurjeet. I don't know if Gurjeet is able to attend.
Okay. So we're going to give everyone a 5-minute grace period to get on the call, and we're going to start promptly at 3:05. That's in 7 minutes. And we'll start with all the housekeeping and interpretation, and then we'll get started.
Christina, do I need to start the host on the call?
On the line. The Spanish line's already good. The interpreters are on there, ready to go, and
you perfect.
To share in the chat a few times. if you want two times for attendees to see, and the interpreters will for the script.
Okay, I did not hear all of that, and I don't know why.
She said she's going to share the instructions in the chat.
Okay, so I don't have to call the number, right?
No, you do not need to call the number.
Thank you.
Want to share the instructions in the chat with all attendees? You can do that a few times as people continue to join. Mm-hmm. And the interpreters will make the announcement online. Actually, because I'm not going to be able to stay for the full duration of this meeting, if you or someone can be on the phone line to have it in, you know, quietly in the background, just to make sure that there are no issues. Jessica and Maricela are both very well familiarized with remote simultaneous interpretation at this point. They've worked a lot of events for us, so they can also let you know if there are any issues once I need to head off. But having someone in the background on the phone line might be helpful in case there's any technical issues.
No problem.
All right, it's 3:00. I just want to welcome everyone we have here so far. We're going to give 5 minutes to allow people to keep coming in. We're getting a lot of folks. We've up to 60, 70. So we're just going to let everybody keep coming in for the next 5 minutes, and then we will begin. One more minute and then we will start. Folks should notice the Spanish interpretation instructions in the chat. Gail, it looks like the chat is disabled. I'm fine enabling the chat. You're on mute, Gail.
Jeez. Okay, so it's not disabled. It's because it was an anonymous person.
Oh, okay, got it. I guess you cannot type anonymously. Okay.
Right.
All right, here we are, it's 3:05. I wanna get started right away in the interest of time and respecting all of your time. I'm thrilled to see that 113 participants are currently on the line or currently in the Zoom room. Just to go to show how passionate folks are about District 30 and about this issue. I'm just gonna read some housekeeping issues. Thank you everyone for being here in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day. This meeting was called by CEC 30 and will be moderated by myself, Deborah Alexander, co-president Roberto Cruz, and the CEC 30 administrative assistant, Gail Cohen. We have Spanish interpreters here working on a separate line. Thank you to them for being here with us and providing this important service to our Spanish speaking families. I would ask all participants to speak slowly to allow the interpreters to keep up. The interpreters will now announce instructions in Spanish for attendees who may wish to dial into the Spanish line at this time.
Buenas tardes a todos. La información para conectarse en la línea al español, marquen el número de teléfono 978-990-5153. Ustedes pueden quedarse aquí en la sala de Zoom al mismo tiempo, solo pónganle silencio a su computador y se pueden conectar del teléfono al 978-990-5153. Una vez que marquen este número, el sistema le va a pedir un código que es el 254-7235 y el símbolo de número. Nuevamente voy a repetir el número de teléfono, es el 978-990-5153 y el código para ingresar es el 254-7235, símbolo numeral. Por favor, pongan en silencio sus teléfonos también para que no haya ruido de fondo y pueda escucharse la información de interpretación clara. Gracias. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay.
Deb?
Yes, Gail.
Okay, so I'm just gonna go into settings and check the chat settings, okay?
Okay, yeah, you work on that while I give the rest to the instructions. This is a public meeting and is being recorded. Please mute your microphone whenever you are not speaking. Video for public speakers will be disabled. We will begin today's special meeting with public comment. Comments will be limited to 2 minutes. Speakers requiring interpretation will be given additional time. A timer will be provided on screen and a 15-second warning will be given before your microphone will be muted. We apologize for the abruptness, but would like to hear from as many speakers as possible. Because we will have simultaneous interpretation all throughout this meeting, it is very important that everyone speaks slower than usual to allow the interpreters to keep up. Please do not talk over anyone. The way this is going to work is that if we have any students who would like to speak, please type the student's name, have the student type their name into the Q&A box at the bottom of your screen. That is not a chat box. That is purely for student speaker signup. We will call on those students in the order they sign up and manually unmute their microphone. Please give us your name and what school you attend. We're working on getting the chat open for any comments. Please be respectful in the chat so we don't have to close it. Again, the Q&A box at the bottom of the screen is solely for student speaker signup. Next, we will take comments from participants who have joined via computer in this Zoom room. please press the hand icon to raise your hand. This can be found by clicking on participants at the bottom of your screen. We will call on those speakers in the order in which they raise their hands and manually unmute their microphones. When your name is called, please give us your name and what school your child or children attend. While this is a public meeting and anyone may speak, and we look forward to hearing from everyone, we are first and foremost interested in the thoughts of the parents and students of District 30. Third, we will take comments from the participants who have called in by phone. Gail will call out the last, or the Spanish interpreter will call out the last four digits of your phone number and will manually unmute your phone line to allow you to say yes or no if you would like to say something. If you do want to speak, please state your name and where your child or children attend school. Just a reminder that this special meeting was called to help inform the CEC's position on potential changes to next year's admissions policies and procedures. Please limit your comments to this topic. Time permitting, we will discuss and vote on resolution number 141 in support of postponing citywide and community education council elections, as well as a potential resolution in response to today's meeting. Our next general calendar meeting will be on Tuesday, June 16th, and public comment on any topic will be allowed. To open our meeting, Shannon, will you please call the roll?
Thank you. Ms. Deborah Alexander?
Present.
Mr. Robert Cruz?
Present.
Mr. Jonathan Greenberg?
Present.
Ms. Katrina Harris? Ms. Amina?
Present.
Mazi? Ms. Nula Daughtry? Mr. Scott Sharon? And Ms. Kirji Carr? And Shannon Lee? Present.
Terrific. So we're going to move
right. Too.
Oh, Ms. Gail.
No, Fatima.
Fatima.
And Ms. Fatima. Oh, yes, Ms. Fatima. Thank you.
President.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to start with our first student speaker, our only student speaker so far, Liam Gooch-Tonic. Gail, or me, I will find you. Okay. Liam, I believe your microphone is enabled. Liam? Lydia? I think I unmuted her. All right, well, we will go back to Liam if he comes back.
Hi, can you hear us?
Yes.
Hi. Oh, hi, Liam is here.
Great.
So this is Liam. Can you hear me?
Yes, Liam.
So my name is Liam and I am a seventh grader at Q300. I have worked very hard for my grades and I want my grades to count for high school admissions. Why would a student with a GPA 100% go to a bad school? The DOE should use last year's test scores and this year's grades. Also, my twin brother has autism and goes to the same school and his GPA is 100%. We both deserve to go to good high schools and why should it be lottery?
Yes, same thing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liam. Okay. All right, I think that's all the student speakers we have. Yusuf, are you, I don't know if you're a student. Director of PR, I don't know that that is a student.
Yusuf is a high school student.
High school student?
He's not a District 30 student, he's a high school student.
That's okay, this is for students. We not a district student, that's fine.
Okay.
And I am going to, go ahead. Yusuf, your microphone is enabled.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm a student leader at Integrate NYC, the director of public relations there. I just want to say thank you to CEC30 for hosting this and listening to student and parent voices. I think when answering the questions about screens, screens are segregating schools and targeting predominantly Black and Brown students citywide, right? And it's only being amplified because of this coronavirus and this pandemic. I just want to say, and talk about the stress that it creates for students. And it poses the question of, am I worthy of a quality education? Am I worthy of just getting a good education, you know, wherever I go, right? And I think the question that we should be asking is, how can we ensure that students are receiving that equitable experience and the quality education citywide? Because screens should have been ended a long time ago, before this pandemic as well. So I just want to point that out. Screens point, you know, create a lot of stress, a lot of tension for students. And the question is, how can we get a quality education for all? So I definitely call for the ending, for ending the use of discriminatory screens citywide. Thank you.
Thank you, Youssef. Okay. Let me just double check. Lydia, I don't know if you're on the Q&A again, and I know you have another child. Let me make sure that Peyton doesn't want to speak. Lydia, you're unmuted. Did Peyton want to speak as well?
Peyton is currently having a clarinet lesson.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. I saw you on the chat again. That's fine.
Yes. I will just wait for you know, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. And as it so happens, Lydia, you are the first hand raised in our Zoom room. So I'll just leave you unmuted, and we're going to begin public comment now from the Zoom room, and take it away, Lydia.
Hello. My name is Lydia Tonic. I have twin boys. They're currently in seventh grade at Q300. One of my boys has autism, and I get extremely angry, and I actually take it personally when somebody says that screens are unfair for children with disabilities. When my son was 3 years old, he attended the special preschool only for kids with autism, and we were told that most likely he would never get mainstreamed. Now he's not only mainstream, but he's attending a gifted and talented school with a fabulous GPA of over 100. So removing screens would be unfair to all the children who work very hard. Yes, everybody deserves quality education, but sometimes we need screens so that we would match students with appropriate schools. Also, very often we hear that discriminatory policies would include auditions. So that would be the most ludicrous situation I can think of, to remove auditions from high schools such as LaGuardia or Frank Sinatra. So we need to have a balance of screen schools and unscreened schools and specialized schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. Next, we have Elizabeth Jones.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Jones. I am a special education teacher here in District 30, and I am here today in support of more equitable admissions policies in this district, especially at the elementary and middle school level. We live in one of the most segregated school systems in the country, and school screens are contributing to that segregation. New York City schools with exclusionary admissions practices are among the most homogeneous. Middle and high schools, these schools disproportionately underserve the city's Black students, Latinx students, students with disabilities, and multilingual learners compared to the makeup of the entire student population. And frankly, I think this needs to change.
Thank you. Next, we have Naya B. Naya, you are good to go.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. Hi everyone, my name is Naya Berg. I am the Integrated Schools Project Director at a nonprofit called New York Appleseed, but I was asked by some D30 parents to join today. So I am thankful to be sharing this space with you all. I wanted to just bring a perspective to this discussion on considering admissions changes, talking about ending the use of exclusionary screens. At the middle school level, really advocating for the end of all middle school screens with the understanding that measuring the educational attainment and worth of folks that are as young as 9 years old is fundamentally inappropriate, and it was before this crisis, and I truly believe that it is now. At the high school level, thinking about the elimination of exclusionary screens with the understanding that these screens have disproportionately affected students that come from the most marginalized communities, English language learners, students with disabilities, free and reduced price lunch. They are all disproportionately underrepresented within these screen schools. At the end of the day, when we're thinking about this COVID-19 crisis, and we're thinking about admissions changes, it's not about capitalizing on this crisis. It's about acknowledging the very real inequities that already existed prior to this crisis. And so we need policies that are going to increase equity and are going to support and uplift our students from our most marginalized groups that are being directly affected. And so if we can create policies that work-
15 seconds.
If we can create policies that increase equity, it would be eliminating the use of these exclusionary screens that are all that were exacerbating these inequities and are already doing so today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Deborah Ellen Glickstein, you are good to go.
Great.
Deborah Ellen? You are unmuted now, sorry.
Can you hear me?
There you go, yep.
Hi, yes, I'm Deborah Ellen Glickstein. I'm the executive director of NYC Kids Rise, which is a nonprofit, and we work in very close collaboration with the 39 schools within the geographic area of School District 30, very closely with the administration of District 30, and many very closely with community-based organizations and others, really to work together to make sure that every child in our school district is going to have a financial asset for higher education. This is the third year of the three-year pilot. So far, we've given out about $1.6 million across 10,000 accounts, K through two. I'm here today to talk about Friday, which is 529 day, May 29th. I just want to put this on your radar. This is a very feel-good thing here. We have a social media campaign that we've started. This is called hashtag Together529. The idea behind this is that we're now cataloging, creating a virtual library of stories from around community members, administrators, teachers, others, parents, families, about what are the stories of people who've supported each of us to get to where we are. And so now if you look at this hashtag, you'll just be able to see across Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, really a community collection. So we're really excited about this. We really want everyone on this call, Zoom, to really participate in it, check it out. This is something hopefully we can all come back to continue our efforts to create a neighborhood of success. So thank you all. And I hope all is well.
Thanks so much, Deborah. I want to allow that. It's such an amazing thing, the 529 thing. I didn't want to stop her. We should all know about it and participate. Jean Liebert is next. And I believe you are unmuted.
Hello, this is Jean Liebert. My son is seventh grade at Baccalaureate School of Global Education. One word that keeps coming up is equity. And what is equity? In my understanding, equity is the ability to learn. So if you put advanced students in regular classes, it hinders their ability to learn because they are not learning anything new. My son will not raise his hand in class unless nobody else raises his hand because he doesn't want to be the one raising his hand all the time. He's already known as the person who has all the classes. The reason why is because he doesn't want to be labeled the nerd. So you're going to have the brightest students become the marginalized students if they're not in a program that supports them. He hasn't had this concern of being a nerd or classified a nerd between first and sixth grade because he was in the gifted program and he was able to advance in his own abilities. he is going to have issues if he's not be able to progress in programs in high school that do not have the classes that suit his educational needs. The ability to learn is as much equity as diversity. It's the ability to move at your own pace, and that every student deserves the ability to learn something, not sit in the classroom and just be regurgitated the information that they already know. Screens are not exclusionary, aside from the ones that are zip code based. I believe that everyone can apply to them. There's no restriction saying you can't apply to them. It's just who is accepted. There's different ideas going around on how this works, but just to take away screens in general is to take away the ability to have specialized programs in different schools that only cater to a certain level of students, because you won't have enough students to fulfill those classes, whether it's an advanced physics or a calculus class or and a class that's advanced for different
15
students.
15 seconds.
That ability. So it's just keep the screens. The screens are not exclusionary. Screens do not mean not equity. It means equity for everyone to be able to learn at their deserved pace.
Thank you, Ms. Liebert.
Thanks so much. Next speaker is Manu. I've lost your name. I can't see it. I know I was going to have trouble saying it, but I screen doesn't show me your name. Manu, are you there? I just can't. It won't show me your last name. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Hi. Hi. My name is Manu Bhagava, and I'm a parent in District 30, and I'm a professor of history, human rights, and public policy at a university in New York. So I wanted to speak up in favor of equity in public schools, particularly in favor of expanding access on the basis of race and income to students across the city. It is true that this is a school system which is highly segregated. At the same time, however, I did want to point out that I think the figures on screen schools do not quite bear out on some of what some others have said so far, as I've understood it anyway. And I just want to bring to people's attention this report from the New School Center for New York City Affairs, which has done a deep data dive and which indicates that more than half of students in academically screened public high schools are in fact Black and Hispanic. Some 60% of students at those schools are from low-income households, and two-thirds of screened admissions middle schools have Black and Hispanic student bodies. And that these become important avenues for kids from disadvantaged backgrounds to access college. So screens by themselves are not necessarily the thing that's keeping many from equitable access, but there are some problematic screens that I think should be modified, and also models of schools that do work that could also be expanded and enrollments that could be expanded. All of this is in the report from the New School. So that's my point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next is Alice Aldich.
Hi, it's Elise Aldige.
Every time I tell myself and I get it wrong every time.
It's okay.
Elise.
It is totally okay. And I'm sure you know that I am here to advocate for access to an equitable education for all kids. And, you know, it's just hard. You look at the numbers and despite what the last speaker is saying, I have not read that report. But generally across the board, the numbers, when you look at screened schools, when you look at G&T schools, the demographics speak for themselves in terms of who has access. And I just think that, you know, this crisis has ripped open and just sort of like displayed for everyone to see the deep inequities that run through our school system, right? Making it one of, like Elizabeth Jones said before, the most segregated school systems in the country. And so to push and advocate for a status quo business as usual admissions policy is really to kind of feel comfortable supporting a policy that limits the access to an equitable education for Black, Brown, and poor children in our district and across the city. And you kind of have to just think about what that means for yourself and for your child and for all children. And think about those who are hurting the most right now. And what are we going to do to support them, those kids? That's what I'm here to say.
Thank you, Elise. I will get it right next time. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Next up is Jenny Atkinson. You are unmuted.
Hi, everybody, and thank you for this opportunity. I'm Jenny Atkinson. My daughter and son are at Louis Armstrong Middle School. My daughter's in seventh grade. This is such a complicated issue for me because my whole professional life has been about equity in education. But I'm sitting here with my daughter who has given up every extracurricular activity at her school this year to study as hard as she could to get the best grades she could so she'd be competitive in a specialized school. She followed all the rules that the DOE has put out. And now midstream, because of a pandemic, the rules are possibly going to be changed on her. And many of her friends who are of many different backgrounds and many whose families are low income and have sacrificed a lot to do what my daughter has also done. I feel like if the goal is to get rid of screens, that's a different conversation than the question around equity, which I think has more to do with making sure kids have, you know, studies show that if kids aren't reading proficiently by third grade, it's very hard for them to catch up. And so I think the DOE should be focusing right now on making sure that kids are getting what they need on the early years. You know, I agree with the person who said that talented and gifted, that it doesn't make sense for four-year-olds to be tested. That only shows really, it does not show, I don't think, intelligence or ability as much as what kind of house a child has been risen in or what been raised in or what kind of opportunities they've been given. And I didn't put my children in talented and gifted because I wanted them in my community, local community schools, and I wanted to be involved there. But part of the reason that I felt okay with my daughter not being very challenged through her career up through seventh grade, and I don't fault her teachers, they've all been great and they've tried to challenge her when they can. But part of the reason I've been okay with that is feeling that she would have an opportunity to be
15 seconds
with in a more challenging setting in high school. So I'm not for this, it's certainly not this year. I would be for it as we think about it more carefully, quickly, but not this year.
Thank you very much. Muted.
I'm muted, sorry. Thank
you. Welcome back.
Thanks. Next up is, I see Miguel. You are good to go.
Okay, my child goes to Q300, which is a gifted, talented school. I am Latino, I'm an immigrant. My child has had a wonderful education. You know, he's been through his whole career. Oh, shit.
You're on, Miguel.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, so we're here. Sorry. We got you.
Something turned off. My bad. No I'm problem. So sorry. So my child has had a wonderful education at Q300. And you know, I think we're talking about certain things like equity and education. I think the biggest challenge that we have is that education is not good across the board. The whole idea that your zip code determines whether your schools are good or bad, that is the root of the problem in education in the United States. European countries, most of European countries do not have this issue. However, now, you know, we're talking about screens. Screens, you know, most people have talked about at a certain age, you know, how is it that kids are going to catch up? Yes, they need to actually be provided a very good education from the beginning and not just, you know, to be thrown into a situation where they're going to feel probably inadequate even because they, you know, they don't know as much as the next kid. Why? Because they haven't had a good education. So the screens, I think, is a way out. It's an easy way out instead of focusing on the main issue, which is the real education. Why don't we fix education from pre-K, from kindergarten, from first grade, instead of trying to at seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade to say, well, you know, why don't we try to do something for everyone? I think that's not the way to go.
15
and
seconds.
I think, you know, it undermines all the work that many students have done throughout their whole academic careers. Thank you so much. And I'm so sorry. Before.
No, thank you very much. Thank you.
Terry Gordon, you're up. You're good to go. Terry Gordon? You're unmuted.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. My name is Terry Gordon. I'm a literature professor and highly concerned with questions of diversity and racial and gender equity. I have three students in the public school system. Two of them are at PS101Q and one is at Q300. I think it's very important that we separate the question of admissions from the pandemic. I think it's really important to have the support of families in the community and to make any changes to the system in advance of any school year. I'm concerned particularly with students who are in fourth grade or seventh grade. I think to change the rules literally at the end of the year by fiat would be very traumatizing and demoralizing to them. We can't say that because they don't have end of the year grades, they can't be assessed because they have 7 months of grades and they have exams. So I guess my real concern is one of process, and I guess it's politics. But if we want to re-envision the system, I think we have to do it with a process that gets the support of the community and sets up a new system in advance of any given school year. And I would just want to echo what Jenny Atkinson said in this regard. I think we really have to respect the efforts of fourth graders and seventh graders. I mean, really human beings who have said goals for themselves and have worked within a system that they understand to be choice. So I think we have to honor that choice this year and then work together for any kind of changes we want to make with admissions. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, thank you, Terry. Marnie Geltman, you are unmuted.
Hi, thank you. My name is Marnie Geltman, and I have a son who is a seventh grader at IS 145. So I will be directly impacted by this policy. I mean, I hear what others are saying about, you know, not wanting to change the policy in the middle of a pandemic. However, there are students who are working hard. So I'm also a fifth grade teacher, and there are students working hard right now in spite of the pandemic who would not benefit from keeping admissions the way that they are. So basically I wanna, you know, speak up for equity. You know, my son, his grades are fine. He would probably benefit from screens, but I don't think that screens would be the best thing if we consider all the students in the system. Again, as others have said, the most vulnerable students in the system, you know, are grades at any time are, you know, questionable how well it's assessing what they can do. All students deserve a quality education, as others have said. And the other thing I just want to bring up is the fact that, you know, this meeting is probably not an equitable, a clear representation of parents in District 30. You know, how did parents find out about this meeting? You know, I know, again, I teach a school in District 30, and I don't know that any of my parents knew about this meeting of the students that I teach. I didn't think to tell them about it just because it didn't come to my mind. So I think we have to think about who's here and whether or not, you know, the people who are here can really form, you know, a policy for the meeting tomorrow night based on everything that we're hearing here. Thank you.
Thanks, Marnie. I just, as a note on that, every principal was given the notice and was instructed by the superintendent to distribute to their families. If that is not the case, and that was days ago, if families didn't receive notice, they should talk to their principals, but Dr. Composto gave the principals explicit instructions to distribute. I know I received it at my kids' schools. And the reason for the short notice on this is that the DOE is asking for feedback for tomorrow night's meeting, so we had to do this on an expedited timeline. Just some notes so we know. I agree with you that it is not the most ideal of circumstances, but we did not hear about tomorrow's meeting in which the CEC was asked to present a position until Friday night. So these were the cards we were dealt. So we're going to do our best to not only take into consideration what we've heard today, but what we've heard in the past from our district and what folks have written in as well. But thank you so much. Go ahead, Gail. Did you want to?
Yes. Okay. Georgie, you are unmuted. Set to go.
Hello. My name is Georgi Petrov. I have kids at Q300 and PS85Q. I am a first-time immigrant to the United States, and my parents came here with $200. And one thing I really liked about this country is that I could be measured on my hard work and success. So I'm very much in favor of having academic-based screenings to certain schools. And this is a great part of this country, is that if you work hard and you can do well, you can be rewarded for it. If there's issues with the makeup of the specialized schools, then I think the problem should be addressed earlier on so everybody can get to middle school with the right tools, rather than trying to artificially level everybody in middle school. That is not the time to fix this problem. The problem should be fixed at the source and not by some artificial means halfway through the kids' school education. Thank you very much.
Okay, Amanda C., you are set to go.
Hi, can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Great. Hi, my name is Amanda Chung. I am an educator here in District 30. And I am here to advocate for the end of the use of exclusionary admission screens at the middle and high school level next year. As a lot of other people have said, we have long known that grades, attendance, and test scores are inadequate measures of a student's potential. They're actually just more reliable measures of a student's access to resources and level of income, and that subsequently breaks down along racial lines in our country. So as you know, many others have said, I believe a high quality education is a right for all students, and ending admission screens would be a step forward. Thank you.
Melissa Lertzman, you are set to go.
Hi. Hey, Deb. Hi, Jonathan. Hi, everyone. Thank you. I'm going to make this quick because I'm on a client call and have kids running around in the background. But for those of you who don't know me, I'm a parent in District 30. I have two kids in public schools. I am in favor of ending the discriminatory screens in District 30. Just a bit of background on me. I grew up in a completely integrated military school system, and my husband's an immigrant whose family worked really hard with nothing and ended up going to Brooklyn Tech. We have a pretty good spectrum of this, the issues at the table. I do think that somebody said earlier about how traumatizing and demoralizing this has been for their own children who have been working hard, and I agree. This has been very difficult for all of us, but we're in a real crisis, and a disproportionate number of Black, Brown, and low-income families are feeling the real effects of this. This pandemic has shown us that, and I think that we have a moment to do something right as a district, and I'm in favor of that. And then I just also like to add that, Deb, I appreciate the inclusion of the Spanish translation on this call. That was a really nice thing to see from the CEC. And I know another commenter said something about it not being fully equitable for comments beforehand. I understand the speed of this. I think something maybe for the CEC to consider moving forward might be, I know a lot of families have access and issues to like Zoom and technology and devices. So maybe including separate Google forms or a phone voicemail they can call into and leave comments out could be helpful also.
Those are great ideas, Melissa. They're great. Thank you.
I'm going to go chase monsters now.
Okay, Adriana Lynch. Hi, Adriana. You're good to go.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi, guys. First, I'd like to say hello to the CEC members. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity. Dr. Composto, sending all my love and appreciation to you. I'm a former CEC member, so I have a special connection to this group. And keep up the good work, guys. Keep up the good work. My frustration pretty much, I'll keep it short and sweet. My name is Adriana Lynch. I have two daughters who attend Louis Armstrong Middle School here in District 30. I have a sixth grader and a seventh grader. So pretty much back to back on dealing with high school admissions, coming up. My biggest frustration, and I hear everybody speaking and I appreciate everyone's points of view, but the topic that always keeps coming up is inequity, inequity, inequity. And the frustration for me is holding the DOE accountable for decades and decades of this going on. I grew up in the New York City public school system. I'm 47 years old. I remember growing up in Bushwick, Brooklyn, when Bushwick was Bushwick, you know, the hood. And you really, your resources were really limited. And guess what? You know what? Even from back then, you had your inequities, yes, but I'll tell you what, each of the schools, as I remember, did have, the kids trying their very best, no matter what level they were on. However, there was designations for G classes, even within the elementary schools in the hood. And that gave everybody an opportunity throughout the years, even from first grade on, to do the very best they can with, and work their hardest. This whole thing of pitting parents against each other is incredibly frustrating.
15 seconds.
I really do believe that all parents want all children to get equal education. Please, please, please do not stop the screen schools. And my apologies for rambling on, but I'm really passionate about children in the inner city, making sure that those that are getting 95s in the inner city are not overlooked. Thank you.
Thank you, Adriana.
Sorry.
Can we ask the Spanish translators to reemphasize that if they have any Spanish speakers that have questions, they should go and hit the chat box? But I don't know if we're actually reaching out.
Put those instructions back in the chat box. I'm just going to encourage everyone. I don't see a lot of hand. I see a lot of people still here and not a lot of hands raised. So I just want to encourage you to raise your hand if you'd like to give a comment.
Okay. Melissa Haldeman, you're up.
Hi, thank you so much. My name is Melissa Haldeman. I have a daughter in seventh grade at Hunters Point Community Middle School. I'm here to speak in favor of taking this time as an opportunity to revisit screened admissions. I'm in favor of moving away from a model that puts so much pressure on fourth and seventh graders for their middle school and high school careers in New York City. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. And if it's okay to reference my daughter's school specifically, I would just want to say it's a good example of a school that is not screened and yet produces good results for students. I find that the school is by lottery. I think this has changed. I think it used to be a slight preference if you attended an open house, but they provide a range for most of their assignments. They provide a very clear rubric and a range of ways in which that allow the students who are looking to stretch themselves to be challenged and the students who need more support to find that support. And so I think it's an opportunity for the DOE and the district to look at ways to provide these kinds of opportunities for students from many different levels. And again, putting in some support for looking at this as an opportunity to change the status quo, which I think really has just put far, far too much pressure on fourth and seventh graders. Thank you.
Okay. Megan. You're up.
Hi, thanks for letting me make a statement. Actually, I have a student at Q300 and also at PS384. And as I think about diversity and equity in education, and screens, I found looking at the District 15 diversity plan very helpful in thinking about outside the box. So if anyone's interested, it's D15, which is 15, diversityplan.com. And for me, again, that was just a jumping off point to start thinking about the bigger issues. And also, you know, like it's very personal and I understand that, but this gives a model of how the DOE and parents and stakeholders can work together to come up with something that is good for the students and good for the greater community.
Thank you, Megan.
No more hands.
I see no more hands. But 114 participants. No one else wants to talk. All right. We're going to go then to our phone call, our phone participants. And then if anyone else still wants to raise their, oh, wait, I see more hands.
Okay, Melissa.
Hi, this is Melissa Lee. Thanks, Deb. It's good to see you guys. So, you know, I'm coming at this as a parent, District 30 parent. I have three kids in the public school system who are receiving excellent elementary and middle school educations. So what will the DOE say to children who've worked hard to excel in the New York City public school system when they no longer have a chance to attend a screened high school? I mean, our kids have rights. We owe them the right education at all levels of their development. And I think we should increase the number of seats in each borough in proportion to the number of students who reside there. So don't shuffle the seats, but actually make more. This isn't addressing the root cause of a lack of ethnic diversity in New York City schools. Eliminating screen schools doesn't address the true barriers or the social determinants like the economics, the neighborhoods, access to excellent elementary and middle school education that really impacts the delivery of excellent and equal education for all kids. So why aren't there honors classes in every local elementary and middle school? What's the plan for making all the neighborhood schools better? And why aren't we focused on leveling the playing field for all children at that level and that age when it comes time to apply to high school? You know, this process, going through the high school application process this year, I have a fifth grader, a seventh grader, and an eighth grader. The process may be designed to maximize choice, but it actually promotes disparity. Working parents can't leave jobs early to attend open houses scheduled in five boroughs during the day or at five. You know, if you really want to focus on removing barriers to high school applications, then please focus on making the process more accessible for all students and their families. So, you know, please make top classes at every school, build more academically enriching high schools and seats across New York City, and give all of our students an equal opportunity to choose the right academic path based on their
15 seconds.
And their abilities, not the color of their skin, not the street that they live on, and improve our local schools from the ground up. These are our kids. They're not colors or genders. They're individuals, and our future depends on them.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Okay. Wait, am I muted? No, I'm not muted. Kodu Ndwa? I'm messing it up. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Don't. Hi, can you hear me now? Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Deborah. So it's Njur, but it's fine. I'll take Njur. So I am a parent in District 30. I have a child in sixth grade at Q300. And I'm very passionate about this, as everyone else who has spoken. When I think about this, I do agree with a lot of parents who have said actually different things. So I think we definitely have a system that is not great and is definitely not fair in my view. My question is, does the DOE think about what is the root cause? Why did we get here? Before proposing a solution, you need to understand the root cause of an issue if you want to take care of it and solve it in a very systematic and like permanent way. Sustainable way is the word I'm looking for. So in doing this, I would hope the DOE and us parents have to think about, okay, if we to use this pandemic as a way to accelerate and remove screenings, what are the ramifications? First of all, are we, you know, resolving at the root cause, but also what kind of issues would we be creating going forward? What I see as a potential problem is that some high achieving students, and I'm not saying they're better or not, I'm just saying the students with a different need that need to be taught at a different level, I'm afraid those students will no longer have a place where they're gonna be taught at that level that they need to be taught to remain engaged. So I think as much as I want us to find a solution, I think saying we remove screens and everyone is at the same level doesn't really cater to those students and their needs. And that's really a collateral damage we will have if we don't think through this. I think doing it too quickly would have the risk of potentially, you know, not achieving the result that we want and creating even further issues. So
15 seconds.
Take the time and not rush the change. even though I do agree changes need to happen, but it also needs to happen at a local level and at an elementary school level to have long-term change. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I've got Julio Bernard. You're good to go.
Hi, good afternoon. How's everybody? I'm the parent of a child in District 30. He's in IS 227. And I myself, I'm an immigrant, and I came from a family that wasn't very well off or anything like that. But I worked my butt off over the years, and I was able to achieve success. I was able to achieve success because I graduated from high school. That school was screened academically. So I don't believe in removing all the screens, but we really need to protect the students that work hard all the time in order to make sure that they can have success, you know, to the level that they deserve. So maybe more programs need to be created in other schools, but I really do feel that we should leave the ones that we have now alone.
Julio, you're breaking up.
I said that I really do feel that we should leave some of the programs that we have already established running the way they are and set maybe new things up in other schools along the lines to mirror what, you know, what has already worked over the years.
Thank you so much.
No
problem. Okay. Eric Zolov? You're good.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, I have.
Eric, we don't hear you.
Yeah.
Eric?
Hey, yeah, trying to unmute myself. There we
I
go.
I hear you now.
Okay, thank you. I have a child at Q300 as well and wanted to echo the last speaker's point about how our students work very hard. Those of us who have students in either honors programs or some of the selective middle schools, selective high schools, do come from all backgrounds and they work very hard and they are very aspirational in that regard. And it feels unfair to in effect penalize those hardworking students. And what I don't quite understand is why is the mayor and the chancellor, why are they out to in effect break what works as opposed to fix what's broken? And what's clearly broken about the system is at the lower levels, but what works in the system are the selective middle schools, selective high schools, selective honors programs, which are able to really meet those aspirational needs of not just high achieving students, but students who really, you know, have these aspirations. So don't break what works, fix what's broken. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Zolov.
Okay, so now I see no more hands. We're going to go to our phone. If anyone raises their hand later, we can get back to you, but let's go to our phones right now. Gail, you have to do that. I don't know how to do that.
I'm just looking. Okay, phone number ending in 8819. You are unmuted. Do you wish to say anything? Okay.
Okay, next.
Phone number ending in 0709, you are unmuted.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my child is also what you call high achiever. I don't think it's really about whether we screen high achievers or we don't screen high achievers. It's more about whether we're generating a gap, a deeper gap, between those children who always like to study and those children who are not challenged enough or not interested enough to study. So starting with the change in grading policy, I find that a lot of my friends have not told their children about it because they're afraid they'll stop studying. And if you transplant this kind of non-aspirational, let's say, attitude into a highly selective school, I find you're going to face many more mental problems and many more teen suicides and really what maybe now is unexpected, but from the psychological point of view would be very expected. So I think the removal of academic screens, first of all, violates the state law where every child should be provided with academically matching environment. And second, it disregards the fact that a lot of children who have not been brought up from elementary level to the level of seventh grade to be screened by highly demanding schools, they will suffer. They will suffer mentally, they will suffer academically, and eventually it will be bad for their future. That's all I meant to say. Thank you.
Could you give us your name before you leave, please?
My name is Anna.
Hi, Anna. Last name?
Hi. Last name, Vasileva.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Yes. And I speak from the immigrant point of view as well. But I've seen both sides. I've seen children going into a highly demanding school and suffering and giving up and being pushed too hard. And I've seen the opposite, where children are in a less demanding school and they're getting bored and they're acting out. So we have to think of what's appropriate. And the only way to measure appropriate is by merit screening. Otherwise, why do we conduct job interviews? Right?
Thank you.
It's all about skill level. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so next we have phone number that ends in 6343. Okay. Hello? 6343, would you like to speak? I guess not. Okay. Okay, Deb, there's another hand raised.
Go ahead.
Okay, Melissa?
Michelle?
Hi, can you hear me?
Oh, Michelle, I'm sorry.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
All right,
great. Apologies, I'm trying to keep my kids busy in the next room. I'm a parent of a public school student and also live in District 30. And just kind of want to just support what a lot of the Q300 parents have mentioned in terms of the screens and supporting their view. The one argument that I hear often about screens is that we're subjecting children to the stress of these screens. They're inappropriate. However, I'd argue that children are subjected to screens in many facets of their lives. I think the logic that I'm trying to wrap my head around is if we're saying we're getting rid of academic screens, are we also saying that we should eliminate performing arts screens or any other types of screens? We have to remember that screens aren't just for academics. They're also for vocational schools, performing arts schools, dual language schools. So that also has to be kept in mind. And, you know, frankly, I don't see anyone clamoring saying that we should get rid of our varsity teams or competitive sports. So if that's the case, then why are some types of screens okay but not others? I think the unfortunate thing is that there's just an over-focus and obsession on a very small percentage of the DOE population. In reality, what other folks have said, we really should be improving the pipelines to these schools. So again, I'd say for the DOE really to focus more on looking at the underserved parts of the population, and now is not the time to kind of break what's working. Thank you.
Thank you. Okie dokie. We are at time check 4:02, so we're about halfway through our time, right? No, we had gave 2.5, so we're doing great on time. We're gonna do last call for anyone to speak. All right, going, gone. We received a lot of mail comments, and I don't know that you all want to hear them all. What does the council feel? Do you feel like time would be better served discussing ourselves, or do you want me to read out what we received? What do you guys think? Thoughts? Council members?
So we have a good hour. How many responses do we have? How much commentary do we have?
I would say
a half dozen, maybe?
More than that, I would say.
14 or 15.
Yeah,
14 or 15. Are they lengthy?
I mean, I'm happy to read them. If you guys want the time, there, you know, people took the time to write them. I'm happy to read them. And we have the time. So
everybody did receive them by email this afternoon, just letting you know.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it would be good for everybody to hear them if we have the time.
Great. I'm happy to read.
Okay, it's good. Well, it's okay with me. You can read them for all of us.
Great.
And
so the first, I'm just going to start. This is from Jennifer Patton. Dear NYC Department of Education officials, although I have been very busy caring for two small children at home while my partner works from home at a very demanding job and I work part-time myself, I acknowledge that we are in fact extremely lucky. We never have to worry about having enough food at home. We have easy access to technology for our work, entertainment, and my older daughter to take part in her kindergarten remote learning lessons. The majority of our luck has to do with the fact that we are white. Both my husband and I are in the economic and professional positions that we are because throughout our life, we benefited from an inequitable education system and a society completely saturated by systemic racism and bias. This isn't to say that we never worked hard or had moments of doubt and struggled to get where we are. But even when those moments of hardship were upon us, they were always brief and there was a network of support in a variety of forms to lift us up so we could continue on. That network and safety net does not exist for countless Black and Brown parents and their children. Barriers are put up in front of these parents every single day in which they have to work twice, if not three or four times as hard to prove that they are a good family, understand the value of education, and their children deserving of a quality public education. That's why this one small step toward equity of doing away with screened admissions for middle and high school is so imperative right now. They are discriminatory and unfair. Arguing that these screens are necessary to maintain academic quality and integrity is a wolf in sheep's clothing, implying that students who don't meet these ludicrous screens are somehow lesser than and defective, that allowing just any child into a school of their choice will cause a downward spiral in academic achievement in any given schools, as if they are a parasite. Enough with the sky is falling mentality and do the right thing. End screens for middle and high schools. Next, Jennifer Furlong. Good afternoon, CEC. I am the mother of three children in District 30, and I would like to comment that I do not want to see any changes to the current admissions system. Measuring academic ability is important to help children advance in school and doesn't mean I don't care about a lot of the systemic issues going on. Fix schools from the ground up. Don't change the rules now when our kids are already in flux. Thank you, Jennifer Furlong. Hello, CEC and Superintendent Composto. We are the proud parents of two girls, one in fourth grade and one in seventh grade. Clearly, the issue of next year's admissions is very important to us. We'd like to go on record opposing the destruction of academically matched schools. Schools use many different screens, but for some reason, the ones our school system wants to abolish involve the one thing schools are supposed to provide, academics. We understand the disparities that are rampant in our city, but we do not believe that in order to lift some people up, we have to tear others down. Why don't we expand academic opportunity and celebrate differences, which include academic ability, instead of making all kids conform? How is that diversity? All children should have access to accelerated education, not no children. We also find it incredibly frustrating that many of the proponents of these changes no longer have children in the school system and or have had a sudden epiphany about the very schools to which they sent their own children. If it was good enough for the mayor and chancellor's children, they have no business saying it's not good for ours. Hypocrisy has no place in this debate. Clearly, this issue affects our family directly, but we urge you to consider all the families in District 30 who will be adversely affected by this massive shift in our education system. Do not take choice away from us and do not hide behind a pandemic to do so. Thank you for your time. Sincerely, Suzanne and Mark Shapiro. Next, I am writing about middle school and high school admissions criteria. Current screenings are unfair and discriminatory towards people of color, and I'm writing to urge you to consider admissions policies that are fair to all students. School diversity and integration are extremely important, and as you are reimagining the criteria for admissions, now is the time to ensure that they are fair to all students. I urge you to eliminate screenings and ensure that admissions policies are fair for all our children. Ann Court, Astoria, Queens, District 30, PS 112Q. Next, dear council members, I want to express my support of maintaining academically screened admissions for our families in District 30. I want academically rigorous schools that identify students based on their interests and preparedness for the curriculum.
Students who are ready to do more accelerated work should be given the opportunity to learn with other capable students and receive instruction and support to be their very best. Thank you. Y Chu, parent of third grader. Hello, CEC President Alexander. In an effort to better understand parent opinions and thoughts about remote learning, grading policy for K through 8, screened admissions, et cetera, Queens Parents United has conducted a survey over the Memorial Day weekend and received approximately 100 responses, many from District 30. And then the survey is listed, which I can post. It's essentially saying that parents in Queens are concerned about changes to screened admissions. That is from Jean Hahn, Queens Parents United co-founder. Next, Rachel Sullivan. As a mother of a current fourth and seventh grader, I believe that attendance/lateness and grades earned prior to the shutdown of our schools should 100% be utilized for middle school and high school applications next academic year. There is no reason to dismiss grades and attendance that was already recorded. What message does that send? Middle school is an especially difficult time for many children. My son struggled emotionally in sixth grade, which affected his schoolwork and grades. When seventh grade began, something clicked and he really started to love school and to thrive. His grades skyrocketed. I don't have the heart to tell him now that his hard work and dedication might be wiped out simply because school closed in mid-March. Nearly full 6 months of his work down the tube. How will he get his motivation back if he is told his work didn't matter? Why pull the rug out from fourth and seventh graders? I agree that the remote learning section of the school year should be passed or needs improvement, but it simply makes no sense to erase what has already been earned. Thanks, Rachel Sullivan. Next. Good evening, my name is Barry Kohler and my son is in seventh grade. He has worked hard all year under the impression that his grades and test scores would be used for admissions next fall. How can the DOE tell him at the end of the year that he won't be able to apply to the schools he has worked for many years? I do not support any changes to the current system and believe that all kids deserve the education that meets their needs. Next. Good morning, my name is Selena Fallon. My children attend school in District 30 and I am sorry I cannot attend today. I understand that the DOE is interested in removing academic screens from middle and high school. I would like to voice my opposition to this proposal. We are currently in a crisis where everything our kids have counted on has vanished. Do not take away the one thing application year families understood to be true, that they could apply to middle and high schools next year based on the work they did this year. If the DOE wanted, they could use grades and attendance up until the beginning of remote learning and test scores from the previous year. Political agendas are not appropriate right now. It is unfair to kids to take away their choices next year and change the system at the end of this year. Please allow academics and hard work to count. Thank you, Selena Fallon. Next. In communistic countries, being exceptional was considered bad and elitist. I always thought here, when you are extra hardworking or exceptional in anything, you will get celebrated and you will be able to live up to your maximum potential. Why is this even a debate? Why is the chancellor not focusing on providing the basic tools to be available in all schools? If anything, there should be a GNT class in each school, same as special needs classes, so no one has to travel far or go through an extensive application process to get the appropriate education their child needs. Christina Gorlick. Next, dear sir, madam, I have heard that there are plans to make admissions next year unscreened. This is a disastrous mistake. Our children have been working so hard for so long and you are negating all that by not allowing schools to screen for students that would best fit their institution. You are getting rid of meritocracy and telling our students that there's no point in working hard. It will all be chance anyway. This is a poor lesson and in the long run will hurt the students as well as the schools. Please do not allow this to happen. Thank you. Sincerely, Angela Lee, mother of seventh grader going to eighth grade. Next. I'm a parent of a middle school student. I ask that you resolve to have the DOE work with parents to formulate a better plan to support the needs of gifted learners. Gifted students must be given the opportunity to shine through advanced and/or specialized programming. Please don't let the DOE change admissions policies. The DOE has been misleading parents all along. There is a nefarious plan and their attempt to listen to parent voices at district levels are a lie, as can be seen from the attached article link. There is a link we can post for an article. Thank you for your cooperation, Amy C. Next. Hello, I am writing to express my support for academically screened options for all students applying to selective middle and high schools. Please ensure that the grades for the first part of this academic year count when considering enrollment into screened schools. These grades and prior year's test scores can be used in next year's admissions process. Failing to do this will penalize students who worked hard to achieve academic excellence. Georgie Petrov, Astoria, New York. Next, to whom it may concern, I'm writing today because my daughter is in the fourth grade gifted and talented class at PS 150 in Sunnyside. From before she entered kindergarten and got into the program, we have lived right across the street from PS 122 in Astoria. I have driven my daughter every morning over 20 minutes away to a school across town because I knew that if she was in this program, she would end up in middle school across the street from my house. I understand that everything is chaotic right now with the quarantine, but I do not see how it's right to take advantage of a situation like this and try to take something away from these students and parents who have already had to fight to keep the promises that were made to us. Why try to push political agendas on resolutions and promises that were already made to these particular families who have molded their lives around this program? My older daughter has had so much success in the same program. It works. Why try to fix something that is not broken? Please fight for us tomorrow and let them know that we are not okay with this change. We want what they've already promised our children. Thank you, Maricely Diaz. Next. As middle-class parents with three children in the public school system, we are outraged by the chancellor's efforts with full backing by the mayor to level the playing field by essentially reducing the educational opportunities for our children to the lowest common denominator. Gifted and talented, honors, and other specialized tracks are aspirational and thus inspiring. They reward hard work for all class backgrounds. Stop destroying one of the few things that actually work with the public school system in New York City. Sincerely, Eric Zoloff. Next. Dear District 30 CEC, it is clear that academic screens are discriminatory. The data is definitive. Low-income students, Black students, and Hispanic Latinx students are underrepresented in screen programs. Screens, therefore, which are meant to separate out academically strong students, are obviously doing something unintended, something discriminatory. They are separating children by race and socioeconomic status. It is not okay to separate children by race or socioeconomic status, so let's stop. I should be able to end this letter now because the knowledge that the enrollment system is systemically discriminatory should be enough to drive New York City to eliminate screens. The problem is that this has been true for years and still screens persist. But now, because of COVID-19, the screening criteria are no longer available for a year's worth of students. The students from following grade levels will have experienced remote schooling with vastly different types of instruction and studied in wildly different home environments. If ever there was a time when lower income students were at a disadvantage, it is now, and it will impact those students in the future. Rather than invent new screens, which could be even more unfair, let's take the opportunity to eliminate screens now. I realize that people might say this is a more complicated question, that there are reasons to continue screen schools. I believe that all other factors in this conversation are outweighed by this one factor. We as a city should not separate students into segregated schools or classrooms. It is time for us to take one step forward on that front by eliminating screens. All further conversations can follow. Thank you, Rita Foreman, Jackson Heights, mother of a fifth grader. Next. Hello, I am writing to express my support for academically screened options for all students applying to selective middle and high schools. Please ensure that the grades for the first part of the academic year count when considering enrollment into screened schools. These grades and prior year's test scores can be used in next year's admissions process. Failing to do this will penalize students who worked hard to achieve academic excellence. Sincerely, Nadeja Sankova. Next. Good afternoon. I am a teacher who is certified in literacy, gifted and talented education, and common branches. I have over 18 years of experience. For 13 years, I taught at PS 159 in East New York, Brooklyn. The school is a Title I school, and 100% of the students qualify for free lunches. My students were gifted and talented learners. I created a curriculum with differentiation and curriculum compacting using Renzulli's SEM model. My students were African American and Latino, and their thirst for learning and knowledge was met in an enriching and challenging environment. The vast majority of my students went to screened middle schools and high schools. They were accepted into the programs based on their hard work and achievements. The community was proud and did not need any standards lowered for them to be accepted. Our philosophy was education was the great equalizer, and the students worked very hard to be a part of a very rigorous academic program for their secondary years. Please do not harm my students' futures with eliminating screened schools. I am also the parent of a District 30 child. Sincerely, Emma Richman. Next. I am a highly concerned parent of three children in the New York City public education system. We put all of our children into this system with the explicit understanding that they would have the option of attending excellent middle schools and high schools based on their achievements. Children in fourth and seventh grade have almost 7 months of grades this year. They will be missing only 3 months of grades. They also have full grades and tests for sixth grade. To make visible only the imposed S/N end of year grade and to get rid of the screening process is akin to erasing all of their academic achievements, not only in the 2019-2020 academic year, but since kindergarten. This is a breach of trust and a breach of contract with parents and students. The language of the New York City educational system is currently one of choice. If the chancellor and mayor would like to change the system, they must do so, one, with the support of the majority of families in the community, and two, with a timeline set up in advance so that students currently in the system may benefit from the choice they were promised. To use a pandemic to achieve political ends is harmful and immoral. I advocate one of the following solutions to the problem caused by imposing S/N as an end of year grade. One, use grades from the entire seventh grade as admissions criteria. Two, use grades from the entire seventh grade and state exam scores from sixth grade or eighth grade as admissions criteria. Three, use sixth grade grades and test scores as admissions criteria. Thank you, Terry Gordon. I think that's it. Yes. That's all I've got for written comment, and I see no other hands raised. Okay. Okay, so I am going to, and we have no more phone listeners. Okay, so I'm going to end public comment then, and we're going to have brief comments from each of our council members. Do I have a list? I don't know. I see everyone randomly on my screen. I don't want to. I'm just going to. I see Scott first. I'm going to ask that in the interest of time, since we have two resolutions, don't shake your head, Scott. I'm starting with you because you're first on the list here. So Scott, if you have anything, any comments to make, and just to frame this, tomorrow night we have the Queens Borough meeting, and they've asked that we come to some sort of consensus on this issue so we can speak on behalf of District 30. And I think based on everything we've heard here and tend to hear in District 30, we're never going to come to full agreement, unanimous agreement. We're too big a district for all of us to agree. So whatever consensus we come to has to sort of keep that in mind, but let's hear from everybody individually. So take it away, Scott.
Well, I think a lot of great points were made on both sides by a lot of the parents. And there's a lot to really process here. We have a lot to worry about. We only want the best interest of our children, and that's what this is all about. So I just want to thank everybody that came out, gave us your opinions, and gave us a lot of information that we could process and we could take back and as a group try to be the best voice for the district itself. And that's really all I have to say right now, but I really thank everyone for the time and coming out today.
Thanks, Scott. Rob, I see you next to in the box next to Scott.
Sure. I don't have any comments prepared. I was here more to listen like everyone else. You know, I had a lot of great points on both sides. You know, what's the successful route to take? You know, you have to consider that. I was taking notes on every call that came in. You know, using this time as value to do something important doesn't lean one way or the other necessarily, because we have to respect the work that's been done by the kids and the work that's been done, the aspirations that are had. We want to take consideration all the concerns that people have, the kid families have right now. So I got to consider it a little bit more. And I thank everybody and appreciate all the words that were spoken and all the sentiments shared. A lot to consider and appreciate it. And I'm going to consider that. Thank you very much.
Amina. Anything to say? Amina, you're muted.
Sorry.
There you go.
Like I said, whatever the DOE are doing, it's going well. If anything like to be changed, like let's talk about it first to see the benefit of the kids first.
Great.
Let's try. Thank you.
I've got Jonathan in the box next to Amina.
Hi, thank you everyone for coming out and speaking. It's been really great to see so many people participating in this process during this time, in spite of everything that's going on around us. I wanted to just first say that the context of this discussion, as framed by the DOE itself, is that they've already said that we cannot keep the status quo. And the reason for that is that the state tests have been canceled, and that the grading system has been changed, and that they have already announced that admissions will not be considered in middle school or high school admissions. So the question that they brought to us was, what should we do, considering that we have to do something differently? And we've heard some of the proposals as to what alternate measures could be used. You know, we could use third grade scores, test scores, we could use third grade grades, sixth grade grades, scores, all these things. But I think we should keep that in mind. Not changing anything is not an option. And I'll just tell you something else that the Department of Office of Enrollment told us in a previous session, was that especially with third and fourth grade grades, they have run the numbers, and there are significant differences between the third grade test scores and the fourth grade test scores, especially for students who qualify for free and reduced price lunch, who are in temporary housing, and who are emerging multilingual learners, English language learners. Which is to say that if we make third grade the determinant of admission to middle school, those students will be adversely affected. And I wanted to actually read one more thing, and then I'll move, you know, cede the floor. But this is from an article written by Stefan Lollinger from the Century Foundation, and it's on this topic. And I can post the full article.
You only have a little bit left, Jonathan, but if you go ahead. Just feel like make 20 seconds left, maybe.
Wait, was there a time limit?
That's what my intention. Yeah. How much time do you have left?
No way. I didn't know that the CEC members had time limits. Was that?
Well, generally in our meetings we do. You know, we have an opportunity for 20 seconds to 20 minutes to speak on topics. Go ahead. If you could, you said you were going to wrap it up now,
okay.
Right?
So this is a quote from Stefan Lollinger from the Century Foundation. And just to say, numerous researchers have shown that separating students by ability has deleterious effects, bad effects on the learning environment, particularly for lower performing students. Secondly, siphoning off high performing students in some schools concentrates lower performing students in other schools, which research has also found to be extremely harmful for students. Finally, because test scores are often correlated with race and socioeconomic status, ability grouping has added toxic effect of segregating schools by socioeconomic status and race, thereby causing schools to lose out on all the well-documented benefits of diverse learning environments. And I'll just say that I find it ironic that some of the parents from Louis Armstrong are speaking out in favor of academic screens, because Louis Armstrong is a wonderful example of an unscreened school that is untracked, meaning there is no ability grouping within the school, that is highly successful. And so I'll just leave it on that. We have the ability, in fact, we know that we can have unscreened, untracked schools that are successful because we have many of them in our district.
Okay, next box is Shannon.
I'm just here, so.
Okay.
I'm just glad all the parents are here. I'd just like to hear more views and more points from the parent standpoint, and just still open to all ears, waiting for the concept, okay, to the things to say, you know. Okay. Not the chance. Thank you.
Thanks. Fatima?
Yeah, hi. First of all, I would like to thank all the parents, teachers, and students in our district. And this is like a very valuable special meeting, like to take in consideration each person's point of view about this resolution. And I want to be as a part of listening to them. And overall, we need to think about what the best for our kids, especially during this pandemic situation, and to stay together and to take the right decision for our kids.
Thanks, Fatima. Katrina?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I thank all the parents and everybody who came out and spoke upon the situation. We are going through a lot with this pandemic, and I don't want everybody to forget that our children work very hard to get to where they are today. And the DOE need to take that into consideration. I do believe that we should keep the screening going in all schools. I wish everybody stopped speaking so harshly and rude about Louis Armstrong and give them the benefit of the doubt. What really upset me the most is that I was listening to some of the letters that you were reading and some of the parents who was talking, where everybody kept speaking of low income Black and brown families. I think that's kind of harsh. They need to address that in a different perspective, because I'm not saying that it's coming off racial, but it is very uncomfortable to constantly hear people call our students Black or brown. I don't see color. Students, I see people as what they are. So they need to just change their perspective when it comes to things like that. Basically, the DOE just need to take heed to what all the parents are saying, including us on the CEC, and let's try to come together as a community and work this out. Mm-hmm. Let's all just get on the same page instead of being against one another, because that's not what it's about. At the end of the day, as I always say, as everybody know me on District 30, it's about the kids. It's not about us. It's about
our 15, baby. Katrina.
That's it.
Thanks, Katrina.
Oh, thank you, Katrina.
Yeah.
Nula.
Oh, thanks, you guys. So one, I think this is a great opportunity. In a weird way, a pandemic gives an opportunity to look at something that I think we all know has been discriminatory, and now we can hopefully try to fix it. Most New Yorkers really embrace diversity, and we want our children to embrace it. So I think we have to teach our children to embrace it by exposing them to a real diverse education at every level, elementary school, middle school, and high school. Public schools are public, and they must be for everyone. And we've got to find a way to honor that idea of a public school. Everyone wants a great education for their children, but education is a really broad concept. And we should work to make sure we include everyone and accept people's differences, and accept the fact that we want our children to be exposed to that. You know, often as you grow up, your world gets smaller and smaller. You know, you have certain kinds of friends, and they have the same ideas and same interests. Usually marry someone who's got a similar background. We have social media feeds that kind of turn into echo chambers. Schools should be broader than that. Schools should be where you meet people from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different religions, different cultures, different races. And that's what a fabulous education is all about. It's not just about chemical formulas or dates and histories
or how to play an instrument, but also how to communicate with people who are different than you, how to make friends with different types of people, and how to be a good citizen. I think the best advantage we can give to all of our children is to expose them to this diverse world that we have here in Queens and to help guide them through it. Look, it's not easy. And I think we ask a lot of our teachers and our schools, but I know they're up for the challenge. Look, I've been doing this for too long, but I know it's important to have all the parents' voices heard, even if we don't agree with them. I also know that to have great schools, we have to deal with these issues, and we've been dealing with them for decades. The key is to listen to the voices and incorporate them into our educational system. Look, all our children are special, and they all must grow and flourish. But we know that from the data that what we've been doing in the past is discriminatory, right? The DOE admits that. And if this pandemic gives us a chance to make a fairer system, we must grab hold of that. I think the basic question is, why are we using these discriminatory screens in the first place?
About 15, Noah.
And we know that it's the wealthier households are scored differently, yet we continue to use them. Look, changing a big system like ours is really hard, but we know that these screens are discriminatory, so we can't use them and we can't accept them. So we have to take this chance as a way to make things fairer. We got to grab on to this opportunity and not let it go. I think our kids deserve that.
Thank you, Nima.
All right, I'm up. All right, so I think, thank you to everybody, as all my council members have said. I think that we really all are closer in our goals than we think. I think we all recognize there's a problem. We all want a solution. I think we're very, very close. And the devil is always in the details. And I think when the binary choice of you are against screens and for integration means that if you're for screens, you're anti-integration, I think that's reductive. And I think that's not helpful and patently false. And the demonizing of people who think differently and calling them names and saying that they're not good people is really unfortunate. I think we have the capacity to walk and chew gum and care for the academic education of our children and the social emotional components as well, and the societal issues. So I think our goals are common, but our methodology is different. A couple of points. Hunters Point Middle School is actually screened academically. They screen for IEPs. And beautifully so. And it creates a beautiful, diverse environment there. But it is an academic screen of sorts. We screen for all sorts of things. We have reading groups. Not everybody reads on the same level in a class. And we segregate students on their reading level or their math level or their scores on a spelling bee. We use those screens within a classroom. So why wouldn't we use them? And we do that for a purpose. We do that to provide the state law, as somebody said, promised legal right to your child's appropriate education. And appropriate education means having an IEP if you need it or having accelerated learning if you need it. And we have to find a way to have these two premises mesh together some way. The answer is not at the end of the process. The answer is providing those opportunities for all students at the beginning of the process. It certainly, no doubt, is not at the end of a school year when every fourth and seventh grade child was under one impression of what their admissions process would look like for the next year.
Got about 15, Deb.
Bare minimum, any discussion of this should be of change based on what we've learned from the pandemic should be for a year from now, not for September, when these kids are already under enormous stress from remote learning and all of that stuff. Anyway, lots more to say, but I'm gonna shut my trap for now. So, one thing I did, and if you guys all check your email, we have to come to some sort of consensus, as I said, for tomorrow. I think we can do that. I think what we heard today, as I said, was complicated. But certainly, if you just look at the numbers of speakers and the number of parents from District 30 who spoke, who are in favor of keeping academic screens or academically matched programs versus the number who spoke against them, we certainly have consensus among our parents. We all as individuals have our own points of view, but I think as a council, we have to respect what our parents are saying, and not only what they said today, but what they've said historically. And we know that when the DOE has tried to end gifted and talented programs or diminish those numbers, our parents have come out in full force against that idea. Our district, by and large, as a whole, the parents want that choice for their children. I think we have to respect that, regardless of what our personal feelings are. And we have to represent our parents. That's what we were elected to do. That said, I prepared a resolution in the event that we got to this point. I had one prepared and I've sent it to you. I'm gonna have Shannon read it out, and I can share my screen with it so that folks in the audience can see. I think I can do that. Come on. Shannon, do you have it?
Yes.
So the first thing I'm going to do just for process is I'm going to make a motion to put this on the agenda. I need 6 votes to put it on the agenda to discuss. So, Shannon, will you roll call to see who will put it on the agenda?
Yes. Ms. Deborah Alexander. Roberto Cruz,
sure.
Mr. Jonathan Greenberg, Ms. Katrina Harris.
Hang on 1 sec. They just have to say yes or no first.
Oh.
So I say yes. Rob said yes.
Sure, yeah.
Mr. Jonathan?
Opposed.
Ms. Fatima?
Sure.
Ms. Shannon? Yes. Ms. Amina?
Yes.
Ms. Nula?
Opposed.
Mr. Scott and Ms. Kirjit?
Yes.
Didn't get a chance.
Small minorities, that never happens.
Shannon, you did great.
Okay. So.
And I didn't say anything.
Katrina.
Miss Katrina.
I agree.
Next, Katrina. Okay, so now it's on the agenda for discussion.
Would be for against discriminatory screens, but no, she's quiet.
And Nula, you're not muted. Just FYI. Okay, so
Nula's not muted. You hear what she's saying in the background.
Yeah, she's fixed now.
All right, I'm going to try and share my screen so that we can share this with the public. And Shannon, do you want to start reading it?
Yes.
Do you want to put it in the chat?
Sure, I don't think it's going to look very, it's not going to read very well, but I can cut and paste it in the chat, sure. That first.
Oops. You could try to put the file in the chat, Deb.
I could, let's see. I don't see an attach anything.
It's, so in the, there's three dot, oh no, yeah. We don't have it, sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it will not let me cut and paste. No, it won't let me cut and paste. Okay, so I'm just going to share the screen. It's not terribly long. Okay, does everybody see it?
Yes.
Okay. Shannon, will you read this into the record?
Yes, I sure will. You can hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect. In support of the following district-specific admission policy and orientation of academic matching in admissions, whereas Community Education Council District 30 is charged with providing input to the Chancellor and the Panel for Education Policy on district concerns, whereas District 30 represents approximately 40,000 students and families. Whereas the New York City Department of Education issued new guidance on attendance as admission metric, a new grading policy in response to COVID-19 pandemic. Whereas there is a significant variability among different among districts in terms of how admissions traditionally work and what individual district communities are currently seeking. Whereas parents of District 30 continue to express frustrations on their voices, culture, experiences, and not duly respected in implementing policies related to interactive during this pandemic. Whereas in the outstanding effort of work of District 30 students, teachers, administrators, and staff have already been completed and recorded in academic year of 2019-2020 up to March 13, 2020. Whereas the Department of Education has not complemented this, discontinuing the use of other screening metrics to match students of the school, such as geographic language, IEP status, performance, and fine arts ability to age, and socioeconomic status. Whereas this council has received feedback from the constituents by mail and during the public comment sessions that is overwhelming in favor of retaining the use of the academic metrics to similarly match students to their appropriate educational environment. Therefore, be it resolved, the Community Education Council for District 30 calls the Department of Education to allow District 30 to develop and implement district appropriate and specific admissions policies for District 30 middle schools and District 30 high schools for the upcoming admission cycle, for the consultation with the district community stakeholders. Be it further resolved, the Community Education Council for District 30 calls on the Department of Education to retain the use of academic metrics for 2020-2021 admission cycle, voted and approved 2020.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, would anybody, I'll just speak since my resolution, I'll speak to it. It's sort of a hybrid resolution. I think one of the points that was brought up by a speaker was about District 15. I've done a lot of analysis of the District 15 plan. It is entirely infeasible for District 30. We are almost twice the size geographically of District 15. We have almost twice the amount of students. We are just laid out completely differently. They also are not a screened district. So going to the lottery process that they did works for their district. It would not work for our district. We have looked at this many different ways. You cannot send a child from the 122 zone to the Jackson Heights zone without busing them. So we're now adding tons of buses and everyone's crisscrossing the district. We're looking at other ways that we can diversify and integrate. We have integration grants and plans, and we are constantly addressing this. We're looking towards Long Island City for this in the future. But to take away zones, I cannot imagine very many parents in District 30 being okay with losing their zoned school. We've seen what happened in District 28 when they even brought up the idea. Our parents are not very different. So I think that a district specific, like you cannot look at District 15 as a model that would work in every district. It wouldn't work in many of the districts in this city, but certainly not in a district like ours. They are entirely different. That doesn't mean that we don't try a different plan. It just means that the District 15 plan is specific to District 15, and it should not be looked at as the be-all end-all model for every district, which is why in this resolution, I call upon the DOE to allow, instead of a one-size-fits-all top-down, everyone is the same in New York City, which we know they aren't, we need to have district autonomy and district control of what we do with our schools. That's primarily for the middle school process. And then there is the idea about the high school process, which we don't have too much to do with, but where our kids all go. Our kids will all go to high school. And a lottery system or whatever system that they, by the way, have not talked about, because we don't know what ending screens actually means for our fourth and seventh graders next year. We just know that there are now no more screens. The DOE has not told us what the alternative is. So we are voting or having an opinion about something when we don't even know what the answer to that is. So it's patently unfair for them to ask this in this limited amount of time, this few weeks of engagement, to upend the entire system of admissions without any reasonable alternative, any idea or clue as to what they're talking about. And then they're gonna have it have a decision on this in the next week or two, and we have no idea what comes in its place. So I think that districts districts know best what is good for their own constituents and their own families, and should have a say in where their kids go to high school, and the children should have a say. So those are the two reasons, basics of the resolution, and that's why I feel very strongly about it. Feel free to now chime in.
So I'll go first. So I'll just go on the record as saying that I am quite familiar with the District 15 plan, and all I can say is that I don't agree with your analysis. We do have a bigger district. It would work differently. The where students would end up going would be different in our case, but it isn't to say that some of the principles on which that plan is based wouldn't be successful here. So we have a difference of opinion.
Can I ask you a question on that before you? I don't mean to interrupt.
I'd like to just continue.
Okay.
So, and I just want to move on to the resolution. First, I just want to make it clear that this resolution was written in advance of this meeting. This resolution does not take into consideration the opinions of the speakers, the parent and community speakers on this call, and therefore is not representative of the community that we have asked to come out and speak on this topic. So I just want to put that out there. And then I'll just say that even that community, I think we have to be careful of how we think about representation. We have a lot of people, we've had a lot of people speak on this topic today, and it's been great. But you have to remember, we have about 27,000 students in this district, K-8. That means there are, let's say, roughly 45,000 parents or guardians, 50,000 parents or guardians in this district. We need to represent all of our children and all of their parents, not only the ones who come out, although we should absolutely encourage them to come out, and we should listen to them and value them and take their thoughts into consideration.
Would anybody else like to speak? So my question to you is very simple, is if you think the majority of our district would be in favor of eliminating their zone schools?
I think that if we replaced this is all, look, any holistic change in a systemic change in admissions would have to be done as part of a plan that would involve, many people. However, I will say that if you asked parents, if you created a system of controlled choice, like what District 15 has, where more parents would get their first choice in middle school admissions than the one we currently have, would they prefer that system? I think yes, they would say yes. And that is, I do think, a possibility. I think that many, many students want their zone school, and most of them get them, but I do think we could potentially build a system with a lot more choice that gives more students and parents their first choice.
Okay, with the nearly 40,000, we have about 39,000 students in our district.
No, we don't. That's including high school students.
Okay, well, they're still students in our district. They're still our students. But I think that you would be surprised then when after the time that I've been on the council and the parents that I've spoken to, they very much prize being able to walk to their school and go to their zone school. In fact, we have made a point as a council to talk up and promote our zone school for many reasons other than for many holistic reasons, like sense of community. We're getting a little bit off topic. But that is why we need to know that we are very, very different And I hear you that it would, something like that would look different. And I agreed with you that some sort of holistic process might work great for us. But every time someone says D15, it is very, very, very different. And our parents react very, very differently than parents who can still walk to a school. When all the schools are a mile apart, it's so, very, very different.
So that's a gross exaggeration of District 15, which is quite, I know a number of parents in District 15, and I know District 15, I lived in Brooklyn near District 15 for some time. And, you know, they're not walking to their middle schools. Some of them are, certainly. But there is a lot of transportation involved. And in fact, the District 15 original plan from District 15 involved money for busing those students across the district. And they did not get that money. But nonetheless, so far, it seems like parents on the whole are quite happy with the
Yes. Well, it's been a year, so it's tough to talk about outcomes there. The fact that people didn't move away 1 year into the process is not necessarily dispositive to me, but nonetheless, I applaud them for being happy. I think they advocated for their district beautifully, and they deserve to get the system they want. But that needs, we have to look at the parents of District 30, and we cannot impose a Brooklyn district or a Bronx district or a Manhattan district sensibility on District 30. And so my only point in raising all of this is that part of the resolution speaks to District 30 advocating on behalf of District 30 parents. And I think absolutely, if we're looking at the voices of today, the resolution stands in that the overwhelming majority of parents in District 30 spoke towards what the resolution says.
And that I think is absolutely false. To say that we have a consensus among parents of the speakers here is simply false. We might have had a majority of the speakers, but I would like to see the names.
I will send you privately. It was about.
No, I would like to see it publicly, not privately.
I'm not putting people's names in a chat. So these are the speakers, but it was about 3-1 of District 30 parents.
Okay. Now I don't know how you define consensus, but a consensus
majority.
Okay, because you said consensus.
We have to come to a consensus. The old majority.
You said consensus of the parents. When you were giving your introduction, you said consensus of the parents. So I just want to make it clear that there is no consensus of the parents and that these were a select group of parents.
Oh. Okay, well, yes. In fact, at the very beginning of my speech, what I said was that we were not going to come to, in a district as large as ours, we were never going to come and all agree. That is never going to, and if you look at the language of the resolution, it said that feedback from its constituents by mail and during public comment sessions are overwhelmingly in favor. Doesn't say consensus. That's what the language of the resolution that we're voting on right now says. And a 3-1 majority. And if you want to talk about select group of who are brought, most of the people who came to speak against screened admissions were not from our district or had no children in this district.
Okay, please, before we vote on this, please send it to me so I can see your tally and who you think is in the district and who is not in the district.
I'd like to see it also, Deborah. You're going to send it out.
I'll send it to the entire council. Okay. I just don't feel comfortable putting people's names.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, everyone was here and it's a public meeting and they can all go back and look, but it's not for me to call people out by name.
It is in the public record.
Yep, but again, not for me to call people out by name. I don't feel that. I feel that that's kind of rude. So they can go back and look if they're curious, but I'm happy to send to you.
Question, Deb, are we voting on this?
Yes, give us 2 minutes. I'm going to send what Jonathan wants around and then we will vote. Oh, I can't.
it seems the purpose of this resolution is to keep, you know, our concerns of our district in-house, and you just kind of monitor and maintain it on ourselves, amongst ourselves. I think that's important and valuable. We only have 2 minutes officially left. Of course, you know, if everybody has the time, we could go back a few more minutes longer.
I mean, I don't think, I don't think it's going to sway Jonathan one way or another in terms of how he votes on this resolution.
This is not about how I vote. This is about transparency.
Absolutely.
Our public meeting.
Deb, we only got 2 minutes left. Can we vote?
Wait, doesn't this meeting go till 6? We have 3 hours marked off.
I think it goes till 5.
Deb, can we vote?
We have
It was till 5. Is it till 6? I thought it was till 5.
No, until 5.
They said 5 o'clock.
It's 3 to 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm flexible. We have another meeting later at 6, but for something
else. Another meeting at 6. So first I'm going to send you the in favors, and then I'm going to send you the not in favors.
And I'd just like to ask, those who had nuanced positions, do you not include in the in favor or not in favor? How did you?
I was accounting for that, and if anybody, I mean, there were lots of nuance, and every parent had a nuanced opinion. But if they said that since this was specifically about whether we should keep screened admissions or get rid of screened admissions, everyone fell on one side or another.
Okay, so can you give me a list that has who has a connection to District 30, and not because you're saying that the majority of those who were against were not from District 30, but I don't.
Right. So every speaker stated whether they had a child or what their affiliation was with the district. You can see in what I sent you. If they were a parent in District 30, I left it blank. And if they said that they were not in the district or a teacher or someone from an organization.
Oh, okay. Okay. So just to be clear, when you say not District 30, you're including teachers who teach in
yes,
District 30.
Because we don't represent teachers, we represent families.
Okay.
They're our constituents, they vote for us.
Well, okay. Teachers do vote for the borough president, so that there is a little bit of fuzziness there. The borough president does appoint 2 members to CECs, and so those are non-parent members. But
well, we don't have any of them now.
And for a while.
All right, so I'm, unless anyone has anything else left to speak on this resolution, I make a motion to adopt this resolution as written. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Me.
Second.
I mean a third.
Great. Shannon, can you call the roll? Where did Shannon go?
I'm right here. Sorry about that. Ms. Deborah Alexander?
In favor.
Mr. Roberto Cruz?
I'll say in favor.
Mr. Jonathan?
Opposed.
Ms. Katrina?
In favor.
Ms. Fatima?
In favor.
Ms. Shannon? In favor. Ms. Amina?
In favor.
Ms. Nula?
Opposed.
Mr. Scott?
In favor.
Ms. Kirjeet?
Not here. Okay, thank you. The next thing to discuss is we sent out, this is a changing gears totally, but we said, I don't know if everybody has another 5 minutes or so. This is fairly quick and shouldn't be controversial. We have, the DOE has suggested that CEC members, the CEC elections next year be postponed. They would like us to continue our term for an extra year, regardless of whether we're eligible or not. They would waive that eligibility requirement. So even if you have a child, you no longer have a child in K-8, you would still be able to stay on. I'm gonna get that resolution up on the screen in a second, but we did send it out to everybody in advance. I am just some background really fast. They changed the law the education law to say that instead of just PTA officers voting for CEC members, every parent in New York City would have a vote. Every parent of a child in a public school would be able to vote for CEC members. Part of that law was that there had to be a task force that figured out how they were going to do that. Was it going to be one parent for one? If you were a parent, you get one vote, but if you have two kids, do you still get one vote, or one parent, you know, one child, one vote? The task force came together in 2019, and they reported out to the DOE at the end of the year. The DOE was supposed to take those recommendations and change the chancellor's regulations to reflect the changes to the election procedure. Well, then the pandemic hit. They never did, and the pandemic hit. And right now, chancellor's regulations state that we're supposed to have the regular election, but the DOE would like to just postpone that because, number one, a regular election is expensive. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. We don't know if we'll be back to how people will vote, if this will be remote, how we would do candidate forums, all of these things. So they have sort of asked CECs to weigh in on, would we be okay if we hung around an extra year instead of having an election next spring? Personally, I am fine with that. I think for continuity's sake, it would be very difficult. I think we shouldn't spend the money. The money would be better spent on our schools and our kids than a CEC election. I know other councils feel differently. Some feel like the democratic process should go on as scheduled. I'm told that there's precedent for this with this old school boards, that they had to postpone elections years ago. So I don't feel too strongly one way or another, but if the DOE is asking, and I don't really have a huge problem with it, I wrote the resolution to say that we're in favor of postponing the election. So does anybody have, can I have a motion I will propose a motion to place this on the agenda. Shannon, will you call roll to see if we can discuss this?
Thank you. Ms. Deborah? Mr. Robert?
In favor.
Mr. Jonathan?
Favor.
Ms. Katrina?
Favor.
Ms. Fatima?
In favor to postpone.
And Shannon, myself, in favor. Ms. Amina?
In favor.
Ms. Nula?
In favor.
And Mr. Scott?
In favor.
Great. So does anyone have anything to say to speak to this?
Can I just ask of the council members who are here, if obviously everything changes and this is not a commitment, it's just a straw poll, but if you are, would be willing to, or you think you would extend your term if we extended the terms of for a third year, or would do you think there, maybe another way of asking it, do you think there's a good chance that you might remove yourself from the council before the end of a three-year term?
No, I'm here to stay.
I'm not going anywhere.
And I find it peculiar they're asking now for, you know, we have so many concerns in the next few months to think of something a year from now. But, you know, we all have the options to not serve what we can't serve. So as long as we're here and we're in good standing and we're trying to be helpful to the cause at large, yes, we should. I'm going to continue. If I couldn't do it, though, I'll be the first one to say it's not the right time.
Great. And anything else?
So just for clarification, because I didn't quite understand all of the details behind this, the main reason for not holding the old type of election is the cost and the sort of uncertainty?
I think that's sort of the way that and also the fact that the law has changed. So they're not technically supposed to hold it the old way, but like the state law changed, but the chancellor's regulations, which implements it, didn't. So it doesn't quite gel. And then, yes, I'm sure the cost is a big thing. and the uncertainty, because they would, what Diana told me was that they would have to start planning this at the end, but usually in December, and you know, December is not that far away, and it would just be very, very difficult. And I think cost is huge. They said that to implement it with the new regulations, I mean, we're talking about a million people voting, it would be something like $2 million, and you know, they don't have that. So yeah, I mean, I understand some parents who are saying, you know, a concern, and I'm glad you took that poll, is because some people will leave, and that will render councils without quorums, and we know what it's like when you're lacking members. It's very difficult. Hopefully they would stay long enough, you know, to get new members, but that's easier done in-house than holding a citywide election. So I hear what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer to have the old type of election again. I just don't really understand exactly what the details are. So
yeah, they were a little bit not forthcoming with that. This is sort of the broad strokes that they've given. I mean, I wonder if we could say if necessary, you know, like, but I mean, I think this is where this is sort of my personal two cents, is that they know they want to do this, and they're asking us, as they tend to do, for support. And when they get enough, they'll say that's it. So I don't know that there's a huge point in going against it, but I don't know. So I'm personally fine with it. I think our council will be fine. Selfishly, I don't think we would end up losing people, but it's, you know, it's your lives, and some of you are going to be rid of us next year. So it's, you know, I hope you do stay. But okay, in the interest of time, I will make a motion to pass the resolution. Shannon, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Me.
Great. Shannon, will you call the roll?
Yes. Ms. Deborah?
Yes.
Mr. Robert?
In favor.
Mr. Jonathan? Ms. Katrina?
In favor.
Ms. Fatima?
In favor.
Myself, Shannon, in favor. Ms. Amina?
In favor.
Ms. Nula?
Opposed.
Mr. Scott?
He raised his hands.
Thank you.
Wait, hold on. I didn't say
anything. Your butt. In favor.
Yeah, I didn't hear you either. Yeah.
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain.
Okay. Might have abstained too. That was a good one.
Yeah.
I might have abstained too, now that I think about it. But hey, you know, we have a strong council. And, you know, when we had to have a special, one of our former members spoke earlier. I don't know if anyone recognized her, but, you know, good for her. We have strong members. But some of our strongest members were from special elections. Ms. Shannon and Mr. Jonathan were better for, you know, that process as well. So I don't doubt that we would find members if we needed them, because we have a good group in District 30. But for now, we'll go, you know, one step at a time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fairly low impact, because I think they'll, you know, even if they didn't have council consensus, they would simply say we can't hold it. It's not practical. They've moved. They've bumped all the other elections. PTA elections have been bumped. SLT elections have been bumped. No, actually, they haven't. SLT elections are according to your bylaws, I believe. That's what I was told. But I think guidance is forthcoming. But PTA elections were bumped to October, so I think they're bumping everything.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Jonathan. What he went through the gauntlet, though. He went through the gauntlet of, you know, tested by fire. But yeah, Jonathan's one of our regular members, duly elected. Well, we got to know him very well, though, I gotta say. So,
our next meeting is June 16th. We can't really talk too much about anything else at this special meeting other than what was advertised. We have the superintendent's evaluation coming up. I'm going to be sending around, like I did last year, a draft and for all you guys to look at. And we'll talk about it in executive session after our June 16th meeting.
my favorite thing to do.
And I think that's it. Anybody else?
I would like to do a shout out to our Spanish interpreters who have been amazing. I have been listening to them the whole time, and they didn't miss a beat.
Thank you. I hope I didn't talk too fast.
You were great.
Thank you.
I had to really work at it.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you to everyone. We still have 60 people here. Thank you for hanging on. Thank you for being here. Thank you to the council. I hope to see everybody at the Queensborough advisory meeting in 45 minutes.
45.
Tomorrow at the Queensborough meeting at 6:30. Sign up to speak. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to stay on an extra second just to go through the chat if people have questions. Unless the meeting ends, and I can't do that. But everybody can feel free to go.
Do you make a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn. Second?
A motion to adjourn.
Amina.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Adjourn.
Yes.
Gail, do you know if we retain the chat in the recording?
I save the chat, yes.
Oh, you know what?
In the recording, it will be available to everybody.
Okay, then I will just respond to people offline then. We have 45 minutes before the next meeting, so.
Okay.
Okay. All right, thank you everybody so much.
Thanks everybody.
You're welcome. Take care, guys.
Gracias.
Take care.
Have a good one. Miss you guys.
Bye.
Take care.
Stay healthy, everyone.
Bye. You too, Dave.
Thank you, Gail. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Okay. All right. I'm going to end the meeting. Enjoy.